So I am Chino. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary. I've been around 9 years. And if this is the first time that you are visiting us, what can I say? I get to preach once a year. That should be enough to tell you, right? So if you came today, I urge you to come next week. It's going to be great. You don't want to miss next week. But seriously, my prayer is that God will be with us today and that we will be impacted by the power of his word and that we will find him in the midst of everything that we do. We are continuing with the series of discipleship, and we named this one Be, Become, Do. And what that means is that we need to in order to become better disciples of Jesus, we have to be with him. We have to become like him, and we have to do what he did. And what's beautiful about talking of discipleship is that our journey with God doesn't end with salvation. It just starts. So there is so much more. And salvation is the beginning of the journey. Paul talks about a long, long run. Yeah, so that's what we want to do, and one of the things that we have been doing, we're right now in the part of be with Jesus, so we prepare some tools for you guys, and I just want to invite you, if there's a QR code in some of the seats, if you got lucky, you got it, so you just scan that, or if you go to our website, you will find it pretty easy. There are tools for us to be with God. There's a couple of apps that you can utilize to do your devotionals and just to kind of help yourself to be closer and make some room in your life to spend time with God. Okay, so let's jump in. This that I'm going to talk about, please don't judge me too hard, but there are some bad parenting examples that I'm going to give that we do. So just stay with me for a little bit. And one of the things that is really hard for my wife and I to do is to get the kids to finish their meal. So am I the only one? Yeah, okay, that's fine. There you go. Joe has the same problem. So it's really hard for us to get them to finish their meals, and we want them to eat healthy and everything. So we will say the good old, if you get all your meal in, if you're able to eat the whole thing, then you can have dessert. I know this is bad. But anyway, we use it sometimes, right? And we have Raquel, which is one of my daughters, and she's really fast when she knows that there's a prize at the end. So you will see her, and she just finishes the whole thing, but she doesn't take the time to think about the dessert. And she knows that we always have plain Greek yogurt in our fridge. So the first thing is, can I get some yogurt? And we're like, sure. Glad to use the dessert that you want. Go ahead. And now, after that, Emmanuel, which is our oldest, he will make his speak. Now, the thing with Emmanuel is that for some reason, this kid knows exactly what's in the fridge and in the pantry. He has like an inventory of everything. He knows where the candy of last year Halloween is. Like, he knows everything. So next to Raquel eating her yogurt, then Emmanuel would sit with a whole like big bowl of ice cream with chocolate on top of it and M&Ms. And to see Raquel's face when that happens is really funny. To see like, what? I didn't know we had this. And of course she will say, can I have that? And we will say no. She should have picked first. I mean, it's her fault, right? And sometimes we pick something, we choose something that is good, but there was something better. There was something that was better than what we choose. And I don't know if you can relate with me, but every time that I do that, it hounds me for weeks. Just to give you an example, I learned that in the United States, I didn't know this, when you pay for a drink, you can refill. That's a concept that is new to me. So I will get a Coke, and then the waitress will come and say, do you want another one? I'm like, no, water, please. I don't want to pay for another drink. until somebody said, like, you know those are refill, right? I'm like, what? 6 years. So when that happens, when you are faced with something that is good and you pick it, but then you realize that there was something better, it is the worst. And that could happen to a Christian life. That could be the relationship that we have with God. We might be doing things that are good, but we might be missing the big things. We're determined to make this work. This relationship that I have, we gotta make it work. I gotta work hard, really hard for this, but you might feel stuck. Probably you started your relationship with God 6 months ago and you just feel that it was victory after victory and things were going great. But now you feel like nothing is happening. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you've been here for 30 years. And it doesn't hit you the way it's supposed to. You just don't feel it. It's not changing. You're not growing. What are we going to do? And here's the thing. Here's the thing we need to know. Just because something is good, it doesn't mean it is the best. We're going to be in Luke 10. We in the video that Ellie and Pastor Johan put together. It was talking about the story of Mary and Martha. You have heard this story so many times. But in case you haven't, I'm going to give you some context to what is happening here. We have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They are siblings. And they probably live together. And they live in a place called Bethany. It's a small village outside of Jerusalem. And the one thing we know about these three people is that they had a beautiful, beautiful relationship with Jesus. And we know that because of the three stories that we can find in the Gospels. So that, which means they spent time with him. They were familiar. They were close. But probably the thing that speaks more about their relationship is the way they speak to him. The way they talk to Jesus. They see Jesus as their friend. They are close friends. They see him as a teacher because they were wanting to hear what he had to say. But they also saw him as the Lord. They also thought Jesus was the Messiah. So it was everything. At once, they treat him as a friend, as a teacher, but they knew that Jesus was God. They believed that. So we're going to go, and we're going to have it on the screens. Go to Luke 10, verse 38. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Martha is running around and she's making everything perfect. Mary, on the other hand, is just listening at Jesus, which is something that Martha does not appreciate because she was the host. She was doing what had to be done, and she was a great host. One of the versions that I was reading said that they welcomed him, talking about Jesus, and made him feel at home. So they were doing a really good job at making Jesus feel at home. And hosting, you know, hosting is really, really hard. If you want to do it right, it takes a lot of time. And one of the things that I appreciated when I came to this country was to see the way people host. Like, you guys are good at this. I don't know if it's the American culture. I don't know if it's the Midwest culture or the Calvary culture. But you guys make us feel at home. We're really close friends with the Grimms. And if you have been at the Grimms once, they go all in and they will make you feel good. And you see Brad with the black gloves doing his thing. And then the coffee comes and you just feel good. And also they have like 14 kids. So, which is great because now their kids can take care of my kids. And it's awesome. But they were doing that. And Martha was doing that. She was going big. She was doing what had to be done. But in the meanwhile, while she was running and preparing everything and cleaning and making sure that everyone felt at home, Mary dropped everything and went and sat at Jesus' feet. And the passage tells us that she was just there listening to what he was saying. And I want you to picture that moment. Just for a moment, picture that. Just see her where she is, and she's absorbing every word that the master is saying. She's hanging on every word. For her, everything stopped because Jesus was in the room. So my question for us is, do we know when to stop? Like, is it clear for us? Do you know when it's time to drop everything and listen? I want you to think for that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. And ask yourself, do I know when to stop? You have to learn that. Going into verse 40, it said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And this little part has, it's really beautiful, but there are two words that are really important. The first one is distracted. And the second one is all the preparations that had to be made. And I want to focus on had to be made just for a little bit. Because hosting people in the Jewish culture was really, really important. In other words, hospitality was not optional. It was your social and religious duty. You had to do it. And what that involved was to have food prepared. And they were not going to just call Domino's and order a couple of pizzas. They will go, they will need to bake bread. They will need to cut vegetables. They will need to go to the place where they have the water. I don't know where that is. They will need to prepare an animal, slaughter an animal. All those tasks laid on the women, usually on the women of the house. They were the ones that were doing all this work. Everything had to be clean. The guest feed had to be washed. The seating had to be arranged. And everyone, they had to do everything they had in their power to make the guest feel comfortable. How well you hosted in the Jewish culture reflected on your whole household honor. It was important and it had to be done. And in that moment when she's walking around and cleaning everything and just doing all these things, she asked herself, where is Mary? Like, I mean, all this that is going on, this is so hard. Where is she? And I can imagine her just speaking to see, like passive-aggressively, just to see if she can hint Mary what is going on. But Mary's just having a wonderful time with Jesus. And she leaves all this work to me, Martha says. No wonder why Martha was distracted with all the preparations. No wonder why she just felt that even when the Savior of the world, and she believed that, was in her living room, but she was not able to listen to his words. No wonder why she got to a point of exploding. And I want you to think about that. When you had enough and you just explode. Happens to me all the time at Walmart. The kids don't behave. I don't know, I just lose it for a little second, right? And then I turn and I say something really, really mean. And usually some of you guys are right in the back. And I just feel so bad. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's hard, right? It feels the worst. And Martha is about to do that, but not with her kids. He's about to do that with Jesus. So the level of distraction, just imagine that. She's about to flip on Jesus. And then she addresses Jesus, the creator of the universe. And she goes, don't you care? What? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Let me tell you one thing, Jesus. This is what you have to do. Tell her to help me. And that is the moment I believe when all the tasks were important, but she missed the most important one. Serving Jesus, hosting him, was a good thing. But there was something better that she missed. Probably one of the best things that could happen to this woman happened in her living room. And she was too distracted. And she missed it. So shame on her. Right? Because that never happens to us. Shame on you, Martha. Come on, girl. That never happens to me. I'm always right on point. This was written to us. This is for us. I am the one flipping at Jesus and say, like, don't you know that I need this? Why is not done? And I'm just missing the most important thing, the best thing to learn about him. Martha's cried. She was going for vindication. She needed justice. She thought that her choice was the best choice. It was the only choice because I'm working so hard at this. I am trying so hard. And I want you to think about the situations of your life when you are just going for it. Like you're doing your best. Why is it not going the way that I want? You are choosing, but not the best. Now, there's another key word in verse 14, and it's the word distracted. And the problem were not the actions. The problem was not serving Jesus. The problem was not that she was doing something wrong. The problem is that she was distracted by it. She was obsessed with this good thing. Later on, she was obsessed with the way her sister was behaving. She was looking at what the other one was doing. That sounds like us too a little bit, right? She was obsessed with the busyness of life. And then verse 41, on the theme of parenting, this hits hard. Jesus answers. After being basically yelled at, he goes, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So much love and compassion. We need that. Like we need the way he addresses that. Great parenting skills from Jesus. There are about 15 times in the Bible when a person is addressed by a repetition of his name. Moses, Moses, Abraham, Abraham, Absalom, Absalom, Saul, my God, my God. This was a Jewish idiom of personal affection. Martha, Martha, can you hear Jesus' tenderness? The tenderness that is coming from his lips. You are getting worked up about everything, over everything. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. Now, how do we react when we have many things on our plates? And this might be a really simplification of the passage, but I sometimes need this for my life, so I'm going to just say it. This might be super practical. But one of the takeouts of this passage for me is that I need more margin. You need more margin. I don't know if it's oversimplificated, but I think you need more hours of sleep. You do. You need more time to rest. What are we going to do to provide ourselves margin so that we don't have to be worried and upset about many things? We need to get rid of things that are distracting us from being fully present in the presence of God. You can be in front of someone with your phone and not be present at all. So what are we going to get rid of so we have that? So you, it's your it's your responsibility to do your math and think, what am I going to get rid of so I can allow space for me to be present? Here's a good advice, and this can backfire, but ask your wife. She'll tell you. Ask your husband, what do we need to get rid of? There might be really bad things that you have to get rid of. Or a little bit more complicated, there might be also good things that you have to get rid of. The good thing is that good is not the best. Verse 42, it says, but few things are needed. This is Jesus addressing her. It says, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. There is one thing that is essential. All these other things that you're doing are great, are good, but there is one thing that matters. All you need is me. Everything else is unnecessary. I am the answer. Jesus is saying, and I think he's talking to me today, if you choose me, it will not be taken away from you. This is the best that we can hear. If you choose him today, it will not be taken away from you. God is the price. Being with him is the price. I want you to think about Moses. The things that Moses went through, the things that he saw the open seas, the miracles and miracles. He knows, there's no doubt for Moses, that God can do whatever he wants. He witnessed it. He stood right there in front of the burning bush. The way Moses talked to God like a friend, he was able to encounter him in the closest ways. And he understood the value of his presence. Moses understood that the greatest gift was not the promised land, but it was God himself. So this guy that knows that everything is possible, this same God is the one who says, I don't really care about the promised land if you are not coming with me. I don't really care about this big thing if you are not coming with me. He knew that the most valuable thing was the presence of God. Can we say the same? Can I go to God and say, I don't really care about my future if you are not with me. I don't really care that you are not answering my prayer. I don't really care that it's not going the way that I wanted, that this relationship is not being fixed. Because all I need is you. You are the most important thing. Even when things don't go the way that I wanted, he is. I was reading a book about treasuring God, and the author said something that stayed with me, and I love it. He says that the problem with Christianity is that sometimes it's more about trying than treasuring. We are trying so hard. And you try to be good. And you try not to sin. And I'm trying to be a better dad. And I try to be a better husband. And I fail and I try again. So I feel like I have to read more. So I start a new devotional. But I don't like that author, so I change. I go to another group. I'm just trying to solve this. I'm trying to make it work. Maybe if I serve more at church. So instead of being the guy of the parable who found the treasure in the land and sold everything, we are trying to make it work. And that story always like shakes me. It amazes me, the boldness of the man in that parable that saw that there was a prize, that there was a treasure, and his decision was to give up everything, to sell everything so he could get the one treasure, the one thing. Mary was doing the same thing. You might think that her action was a passive one. You may think that Mary was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and let Martha do all the job. And I don't think that's what was going on. Historically, it was unusual and shocking for a woman to be seated at a Jewish rabbi's feet. What she was doing was countercultural, if that's the word. She was going against culture. She was making a decision, a bold one, to be there. She didn't care what her culture thought about her. And certainly did not care the problem that she was going to have with Martha later on. She didn't care. She just went for it. Are we doing this? Are we going for it? When I get to this point, I find some tensions with the passage that I want to share with you. And I just want to warn you, I'm about to make a mess here. So we'll see. Try to follow me. But this is how my brain works. In the moment of the story that this is happening, right? Jesus, God is physically present in the living room of their house. So a good way to see this is, I'm going to leave everything because the most important is being with him. So the right thing to do was to go and sit with him. This is a simplification. I'm just trying to put it in words that I can explain to my kids, right? But how does it look now? And the reason why I'm saying this is because, wait, I got lost. Just a moment. Okay. So is it reading the Bible, the thing that we have to do? Is it coming to church? Is it serving? And my problem here is that all these are good things, but they almost sound like what Martha was doing. So I'm stuck. Because I wish I could just walk into Jesus and just have a conversation with him. So how do we solve this? These things that we do, reading our Bible, coming to church, all these little tools that we have are good things, but not necessarily the main thing. There is a risk, I'm going to read this because I think it clarifies it for me. There is a risk that in trying to do what needs to be done, we might miss the very person for whom we started doing it. Do you get that? So the things are good, but we might miss him by doing the things that we have to do. In other words, if we are not being transformed by Jesus, if we are not letting the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, we might end up busy with tasks, but empty of the presence that gives them meaning. I was talking to Pastor Dan, and we were just rapping together. That's how I feel like my conversations go with Dan. And we're just thinking about, so it's Martha, like, it's who wins here? And he was like, yes. So that didn't help me a lot. This is hard for me. I have to do the thing, but how does it work? Almost all Jewish kids knew the law by memory. They knew it. The Pharisees were truly devoted students of the law, but they missed Jesus. They had it right there, and they missed him. A pastor can preach every week from the Bible and still missed him. I can lead worship and lead the congregation and sing it, and it can sound great, and I can still miss him. You can go to class, and you can serve at Calvary Kids, and you can do all sort of things You can pray every day. You can read your Bible. And you can still miss him. The kind rebuke from Jesus to Martha was not about doing something bad, but that in the amount of things that she was doing, she missed him. So the question for us is, are we being transformed by the presence of God? Are we being truly transformed by this? We had some friends over several months ago. I remember it because we were in the Vapor series. And it was, if you weren't here by that, it was a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And my friend, we were having coffee, and my friend was telling me about a really good business deal that he was about to close. And it was a great opportunity, and he would generate good money. But it was also a lot of stress. And he explained to me how he was ready to make the decision, but then Ecclesiastes 2 came along, and we studied it as a congregation. We went through it, and something was off. Like in the moment he heard, something was off, and he was just like, I don't know what to do with this. I might put it, I weighed the outcomes, and it's a good thing, it's a lot of stress. What am I going to do with this? And he mentioned specifically this verse. This is in Ecclesiastes. It says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And that verse just stayed with him. And he was praying and praying and asking God, what do you want me to do with this? It just feels weird. Reading his Bible, praying. He was letting the word of God to transform his heart and his decision. At the end, he decided not to go with the deal. But I think he was left with the conviction that God was at the center of that decision. He said, if you don't go with me, then I won't go. Guys, how are we letting the word of God transform our decisions? How are we inviting him to be a part of everything that we do? Romans 8:14 says that for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. How is God guiding us? How are we treasuring him? How are we saying, I want you here? Are we praying for God for everything that we do? Are we doing this? Are you doing that? Are you inviting him into the conversation? I work at a church. You know this, right? And there are days that I have so many meetings. And it's meeting after meeting after meeting. And every time that they're, and my meetings are usually with the creative team and with Josue, and it's the same faces, different meetings, same faces. So we get there, and the first meeting we pray, God, would you guide us? Would you help us with this? Help us to be creative so we can come up with cool stuff so that the people can think about you. And we just pray about that. And then the next meeting comes. And then the next meeting is a creative meeting, but for the series that it's not right now, but it will be in 4 months. So now we have to pray about that one. So we pray that God help us to be creative so we can come up with cool things for the series that is coming in two months. And then the next meeting comes. And by the third one, it just feels weird to pray again. Do you feel that in your life? Pray again. Yes, exactly, pray again. That's what we have to do. Is to allow God to be a part of our decisions. It's allowing him to guide us and transform us. Sure. Mary made God primary in her life, to which all other things, even hospitality, became secondary. God is the good part, and he will not take it away from us. Later on, if you continue reading the Gospels, Mary shows up one more time. And this time she shows up to wash Jesus' feet. So she was doing something. She was doing what I believe it looks a little bit of what Martha was doing early on. She was serving Jesus, but it was slightly different. Do you follow me? It was slightly different. Jesus was at the center of this deed. Jesus was at the center of the task. We need to do stuff. You have to serve. You have to do the things. But God is the one who has to take the glory. He is the one who has to be at the center. So here's the thing. Rearrange everything. Go back. Go back and rearrange everything. Think of your priorities. Analyze your week. Go back and ask the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to help you discern what things have to go. Make sure that everything that you do is with God at the center. Don't be distracted. We have to take bold steps toward God. We have to make sure that we don't miss Him. That we are with Him, that we are sharing with Him, and that we are being transformed by Him. Amen. Let's pray. God, I'm just so thankful for your word that is a lamp to our feet. God, we know where to walk. Lord, and I just pray, God, that you today will talk to us in the way that you talked to Martha, God, that you will call my name twice like a good father that you are, God, that you will say, Chino, Chino, get rid of this. I am the prize. God, I pray that we will be able to treasure you, that you would be the most important thing. Help us to choose right. Help us, God, to make you the priority of our lives. Lord, I know that there's people today in our congregation that maybe are debating if they need to get rid of this part. Maybe you have been talking to them for so long, God. Lord, would you just make it so clear in their lives that maybe you're not at the center. Maybe you're on the side, God. I pray that we will be able to come to you and realize that we might have been missing you for a whole time. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to our lives, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.